say, my life is about to change like never before. Say it like you mean it. Say, my life is about to change like never before. I can't believe what's going to happen to me. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. It's full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God, now I ask you to help us by teaching us, leading us, guiding us, bringing us into all truth, causing us to understand, to comprehend your word so we can use it for every part of our lives. I thank you, Lord, that entrance of your word brings light, illumination, helping us to see things we never would have seen because we just can't see it without the help of your Holy Spirit. So God, today we will give you and you alone all the glory for the victory that comes because of the truth that comes to us through your word in Jesus' name. Satan, once again, we remind you, you're off limits. These proceedings are off limits to you, and so we rebuke you again, and we resist you. You must flee in Jesus' name. This word is going into good ground, bring forth great fruit and abundance in Jesus' name. I declare it done. Everybody said amen. Make a confession with me. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of the Word of God on purpose. But I'm not just a hearer. I'm also one of those doers of the Word of God. And because I am a doer and not just a hearer of the Word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, I declare it done. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Let's go in our Bibles. Go with me, please, first of all, to Luke chapter 15 and park it right there. Also, please go to Joshua chapter 7. Get another parking space right there. Put a little spacer right there as well. Luke chapter 15. We looked at last time when we got together. We looked at Achan, a member of the army of Israel, one guy. His name was Achan, and they were going to take over a little place called Ai. It's literally AI. How many are dealing with AI today? Yes, we deal with AI all the time. Some of you have not dealt with AI, but you don't even know you're dealing with AI when you go online. But AI is artificial intelligence. Please write that down. AI is artificial intelligence in our society now. It's the name of a little town that you can pass if you're sleepy while you're on your trip over to Israel. You can pass that place real quick and forget you even saw it. It's a little place that's there in Israel. It's somewhat there still, from what I could tell when we went through over in Israel. Now, Achan operated with a rather high AI rather than a high HI. Please write down HI. Now, I began to teach some of you this about 6-7 months ago when I first began to come back into the ministry here full-time in teaching. I taught you about Holy Spirit intelligence, that there is artificial intelligence just by the name. I don't even want to have much to do with it. I do use it. I use it sometimes as a copywriter to write copy for radio and television, those kinds of things, script writing. But I don't like AI very much because sometimes it's got quirks in it. It's just not right. It'll say things it's not true. You have to really watch AI because AI is artificial intelligence. It's not really human intelligence. It's not godly intelligence by any stretch of the imagination. Now, it's all right to use what the world teaches us. That's why we go to college and get degrees. I've got mine, you've got yours. I couldn't learn how to fly by just reading my Bible, okay? I probably wouldn't be here if I wanted to take off just with Bible knowledge. I had to be able to learn how to be able to fly, especially in weather. You want to know what to do and how to be able to go through the weather. You want to get that IFR or instrument rated certificate so that you can be qualified to talk to air traffic control when it's not sunny outside, which is a lot of the times around here. So we need education at this level now. We need to know now what's going on with this society we live in. Nothing wrong with that. But never let this AI replace your HI, which is your Holy Spirit intelligence, which a lot of believers do not tap into which is a real shame, because you should have more HI that you rely on than AI. And I call a lot of stuff AI. A lot of the stuff we learn in college, we need to take it and put it right in a garbage can, a large garbage can. And if you got a match, I would burn it up, because some of the stuff is el stupido. It's dumb. Some of it is very, very helpful. It's very knowledgeable for you to know those things. But there are some things we learn that are just the opinions of men, because you got to understand that we study books that men write, women write. So it's only based on what they know. Now, you're looking at me like you're so mad because you spent all that money for that degree, and I can't help you. It's still worth something, because you can't get the job without it. We want you to be qualified. We want you to know we have a standard that the world has. Well, that's AI. Now, AI, in my way of thinking and the way God showed this to me, is also when you think you know everything more than God. Not that you learned it, it's just that it's you. You in charge. You think you know everything. So you don't need God for nothing. You sure don't need a pastor. What we need a pastor for? It's just a man. It's just a man. I can hear you. Yep, it's Thanksgiving. Everybody's around. He's just a man. Why are you listening to that man? You go to church, listen to that man. If I was just doing this, you wouldn't know it, because you would be dumber than dumb. I'm not doing this. The Holy Spirit is doing this through the Word of God. When you hear from a man of God, I got to get this. See, if I was in Africa, we're going to Africa. I got to go to Africa. Because if I'm in Africa right now, they would be, whoa! I've had invitations to the Congo. I've had invitations to Botswana. I've had invitations to Ghana. I've had invitations to Kenya. I've had all these invitations over the years that I've just said, because, you know, it's true. I want, if there's going to be a group that takes me over there, I want you to come here first. I want to meet you here first. If you ain't got enough money to come here, I ain't coming over there to see you. If you ain't got enough clearance to get here, because Cornelius, who we was just reading about, Peter went to him. All right. So we need all intelligence. But all intelligence, even our own thinking, should go through a sieve, a sifter called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should be the decipherer, that's a word, should be the screen that everything's goes through. And if it ain't tied to God, it needs to stick to the screen and never get to the plot. Are y'all tracking with me? Some of you look like you're really getting this. I'm shocked. Praise God. Because, see, I'm only here to help you. I'm not here to hurt you. What is it going to look like, Pastor Shelter, when people go into his church, they're worse off when they leave? That ain't going to help grow nothing. That ain't going to help do nothing. Ain't going to help you or me. What I am telling you, I tell you only things that will help you. I will not tell you things that will not help you. Do you understand that? I only get 35, 45 minutes. They already gave me the eye. The leadership already gave me the eye, like. And here's the good thing about today. I usually wear two watches. My old school Rolex and my new one, my Apple Watch. I forgot both of them. So who knows what time we getting out of here. Now give me an eye again over there, leadership. Because the leadership been looking at me like, you know what time you're starting. I know what time I'm in, too. Okay, here we go. AI, it's artificial intelligence, even if it comes from your brain. Now, you say to yourself, I couldn't possibly be thinking things that are not right or not good.
not for myself. Yes, you can. You can think them really dumb thoughts and not know that you're dumb or stupid or disobedient or counter to God. We only know what we know. We don't know what we don't know. Okay, I'm going to say it again. You don't know what you don't know. I'm going to say it again. There's stuff that you don't know that you don't know. There's stuff that you should know that you don't know. Y'all looking at me too mean. That's it. I'm coming down. You don't know everything. Duh. I don't know everything. God is the only one that is all-knowing. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows what you ate this morning. I don't want to know. I don't care. He knows what you're really thinking when you say something. He knows, watch this now, the intent of the heart. Not just the heart. He knows why you did that against so-and-so. Made it look like you're trying to help him, but you really was trying to trip him up so you can get the position instead of them. God knows what you don't know. He knows what you know, and he knows more than what you know. He knows when you don't know when you know what you know. He knows. He is all knowing. That means he knows everything. Now, if you had the opportunity to tap into that kind of personality, wouldn't you do it? If you don't know everything, wouldn't you want to have not an artificial intelligence of something, but the real deal of somebody that knows what they're talking about every time? In fact, they can't even lie. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's not a spirit of lie. He cannot lie. So if he tells you anything, it is take it to the bank. It should be going cha-ching in you business people's mind right now. Cha-ching. Okay? So it behooves us to get this relationship together because he knows how to husband this wife. I'm talking about this one here. I only got one. He knows what I'm supposed to do to husband her. And if I listen to him, he'll help me to make her happy. The Lord brought something to me this morning while I was in prayer. He said, ask them, the brothers, does she usually, well, I can't remember exactly how he said, but it's like, is she usually smiling or growling? You might have something to do with that. See, because we're supposed to make the wives happy. Sisters, you need to keep coming up in here and bring him next time. You're supposed to make that woman happy. Man, make her so happy until you got to run from her. I'm serious. We're the only ones in the house. Sometimes I have to run. What you talking about? My son-in-law said, oh, yeah. You learned it from me. Be quiet. See, you want to make it like that. You want to make it so good, man. You want to make it so good that woman is like, woo, wow, wow. And God will show you how to do that. He will. We should be the best example of husbands. Because God created the family. This is why the world don't know what a family is. Anything that lays in the bed together is a family. It's not true. God created the family a certain way. Luke chapter 15. Look at verse number, what is it? Let's go 12, I believe it is. Let's see here. Go ahead and put it on the board. Now, I want you to be ahead of me. When I finish the end of this scripture, I want you to be already to the next one. Don't wait for me to get there. Okay, so if I finish reading this, New training. You just are already on the second one unless I call you back. Military lady. Yes, sir. Man, she's a sweet woman. Her and her husband are just a blessing to this church and to this pastor and his wife. Now it says, and the younger of them, because he had two sons, said to the father, what are you saying to your father? Give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Give me, let's put that in Amplified real quick if we could. Give me the portion that falls to me. In other words, we're going to split this thing when you're dead anyhow, so give me my part before we get there. I mean, he's pretty crass. That's why he's the younger. He's less experienced. The younger than, inappropriately, I love what it says, inappropriately said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that falls to me. You got a problem if they want it early. Oh, I got that. Oh, gosh, yeah, I see all that. Okay. When a person, let me take you somewhere with this one scripture. I know how I was going to be able to explain this. When a person gets sick in the family, you had better start watching to find out who really wants them healed or not. Now, I'm talking where you live. I didn't know how I was going to get here, but I need it. My wife and I talked about we got to help our congregation. We got to help people in general, because as soon as somebody hits that hospital and they especially talking about surgery, because in surgery, you got to get knocked out. And who knows what you're going to wake up like. Poster boy. Okay? And the first thing they start thinking is not whether you have assurance going to Jesus. They start thinking about insurance. Give me some money. Now, I'm talking real. And I've seen this with families as a pastor. I've had to counsel people through it. I've had to watch people go through this. And this is hell on earth. The person is either close to incapacitated or is incapacitated, cannot make the decisions anymore themselves, or barely can, and we don't know if they're cognate when they're making those decisions. We don't know if they really got the cogs going on in the brain, and so we don't even want to listen to them no more. And so whatever Johnny, Billy, Jimmy, Freddie, Susie, Carolyn, what she wants starts happening here, which doesn't even help, first of all, with the health of that person. Y'all sure getting quiet. I must have struck a nerve. They're not interested in health now. They're interested in that insurance policy. They know that auntie, sister, mama, brother, cousin, grandpa got. You had better watch that. God is a healer, but he needs somebody to work through. And you can have people cancel your faith. That's why Jesus had to put people out of the room. And especially if you're a Christian, a lot of times they're afraid that you're going to give some of that money when you pass away to the church. And they hate the church so much, they want to intercept. You know what I'm talking about. So you got to watch this. First of all, they don't want you to really live long because they got needs. Man, I got to pay some bills. I got these bill collectors calling me. If auntie, if brothers. So I'm talking about what I have dealt with as a pastor with families. I'm not talking about counseling appointments. I'm talking about people occasionally talking to me about issues. If we can get with them, you know, that resolves my financial problem. Because remember, there's only two masters, and it's not the devil. It's God and money, mammon. So people have been mastered by that master. So their choices are made based on pleasing that master and that master pleasing them. See, because this is a two-way street with that master. He'll act like he's going to please you, because money can't please you, really.
Money cannot please you. I don't care if you get $50 bazillion. You are not going to be happy. And I'll tell you one thing. You have that money and don't have health, you really start feeling stupid. Because you can't buy health. You can take medicine all day long. That don't mean it's going to work. You can get prayed for till the cows come home. That don't mean God's going to answer. Now, he said he'll do what his word says, but you got to have some timing here because we got to keep you alive until it shows up. And if you got people working against you and working with the world that doesn't believe that you can stay here anyhow, talking about what we deal with. We come in, my wife and I, and those in the medical field, my son-in-law, who's deeply into this, been there for 20 years, vice president of his own of the corporation that he's part of, in this area. We deal with this. And so we come in as advocates for the patient and the family that wants that patient alive. Because you got family members that will try to work the other side because they got needs. You better watch it. You better watch it. This is why Jesus put people out of the room when he had to pray for people that were sick. Because they didn't have any belief for them to be healed. You need people around you that are advocates for you. People that want to see you do well. I don't need nobody. And this is what, thank God, this woman of God, my wife, Kathy Lynette Shorter, stayed in two hospitals, would not leave. She said, I am not leaving this man. In Vancouver, stayed in hospital 3 nights watching me and watching what they did to me. And still the enemy was able to wiggle in and give me something that put me out for 6.5 years. Thank God we were riding around yesterday. Just enjoying the day, just driving around town, saying, boy, I tell you, isn't it wonderful we can enjoy each other still? And she turned to me, and I just started bawling. I bawl easy now because I've been through all that. I don't know. Something happened to my emotions, too. And I'm just crying and trying to drive, you know. And she said, stay straight, Don. I'm trying to grab the wheel if I can, you know. And I'm just saying, and she says, it's just a miracle, Don. It's just a miracle. It's a miracle because she knows where I was. And some of it, I can't even talk about it. It'll be in the book, but I can't really describe it the right way. It doesn't give it justice because we went through that. And she would not let anybody get close to me that wasn't for me. That's why at times you ain't seen me. She said, you ain't going. So-and-so's going to be there, and they don't care nothing about you. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be there. I'll take care of it. At one point, I'm pastoring. At one point, she said, I got to have a meeting with the congregation. Now, I ain't been there for a long time now because I'm still trying to believe for my miracle. And y'all didn't know what was really going on with me, but I'm trying to believe to be able to say happy birthday to her on a microphone. Without sounding like an idiot. And she said, I got to have a member with the congregation. I'm having a member with the leaders first, and I'm going to tell these people, stop treating you stupid. And she did. This woman was my advocate. She was in my corner. And I'm alive today by God. And this woman right here. See, but not everybody has that. And what's happening is that we've got a whole lot of folks growing up now with people in their lives. Is that the real time? I got that much time left? Are you serious? That's wonderful. Okay. Anyhow, y'all gave me some extra time. Thank you. I appreciate that. But she was my advocate. You couldn't get to me without going through her. And the girl sitting next to her, my daughter Danae, she'll knock your head off if you mess with your daddy, her daddy. You ain't messing with her daddy. She quiet, she don't say nothing. She's sweet and cute and pretty. And she just sit there with them eyelashes going like this. That's my date, my little baby. You know, and a good-looking husband sitting next to her, and then the son and the daughter in college. You know, just blessed family. And she just sits there like, ain't nothing going on. But you touch me, man, she is going to, you will need help. You will need help. That girl takes care of her daddy. Okay? If there's ever been a daddy's girl, she's it. But see, that's part of family. That's how family should be. And she was right there. But sometimes, first lady had to be able to rebuke the daughter because she's getting a little waning, wondering what's going to happen. Now, how long this is going to take, Mom? Shut your mouth and just pray. Shut up. Don't say that. Even when I said stupid stuff. Don't say that about yourself, Don. You're better than that. Man, shoot, shut up. Leave me alone. You don't have to tell me I'm better than that. I know that. Get it back together here. But I'm telling you, we need that. But do you know what? We have that. He's called the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, he's called the Parakletos. He's called beside you. Like, you see my wife and I? We don't go nowhere without each other. Now, I may have to go to a men's meeting that she can't go to, but she'll probably be upstairs listening anyhow, so don't worry about it. She'll talk to me about it after it's over. You know, I may have to fly somewhere and go to a special board meeting, whatever, that she can't come in, but she'll be waiting in the lobby. That's just how we, like my son says, this is how they roll. It's just how we roll. We just two together. I'm for her, she's for me. That's how the Holy Spirit is for you. He rolls with you always. Never leave you or forsake you. It can't be Jesus because he's already left. He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. But how is it never leave you or forsake you? Because you have the Holy Spirit that is, first of all, he has sealed you until the day of redemption. That's how you got saved. But next of all, he is in you if you invite him in. And we need that help. Because he will speak to you. He will tell you, like my wife tried to tell me, don't take that medicine, Don. I said, but I'm hurting so bad. Oh, anything you got, lady. I don't even know if she was a nurse. Anything you got, lady. Go ahead and give it. Well, my sister, this is literally what she said. My sister had ovarian cancer, and this medicine really helped her. I didn't think, you don't have ovaries, fool. What do you need that for? I didn't think that. I didn't think, who is this? Who is this lady? I just said, fine, I'll take whatever you, I literally said, I'll take whatever you got that can help me. Now, I was sort of oxycodone out, right, okay? I just came out of surgery, so I'm still seeing the trees move and stuff like that. Out of that surgery, and she pulled out that needle, big old fat needle. And I said, okay. She stuck that thing in and pushed that whatever it was in me, and I went on my tippy toes. I said, what was that? And all I could think to myself, while my advocate was there saying, I told you, you don't need this, Don. You don't need it. Now, full disclosure, she is a prophetess. In the Old Testament, they call them seers. She can see. She has a strong gift of discerning. So you can be sitting there talking to her. She's already read your mail. That's one of the other reasons I go. She goes with me everywhere. Because if I don't see it, she's like, Don, don't deal with him. Because he's saying that, but he ain't really with you. It's not true. I remember we were over the youth at my father's church, Baptist church, and we were helping the youth as they were graduating. We were recognizing them for their graduation accomplishments. And there was one there that had been to prison before, but was really trying to reform himself, and I believed in him very strongly. And I owned a company at the time that we had state contracts. One of the state contracts that we have
We placed all the advertising for any job that the state of Washington needed to recruit for. It went through my company, and we would place ads in the Chicago, the Sun-Times, in the Wenatchee World, in the Tacoma Newspaper, Seattle Times, anywhere. They all go through, and of course, I made a percentage of whatever that ad was. That was one of the companies that I had, one of the clients that I had through the state of Washington. The other one was where we would deliver equipment as a minority contractor. We helped the major contractor that was selling the equipment by being the one to deliver the equipment, and so they got kudos for having a minority contractor work with them. Well, I hired this young man who was supposedly finished college at the University of Washington, and I didn't realize that he was lying. And so in the middle of service that Sunday morning in the church that my father was pastoring, I said, "We're recognizing all the young people that have graduated in here, and I understand that this young man right over here, he graduated." And my wife was going, no, he hasn't graduated, no. I said, "Yes, he did. He graduated. What's wrong with you?" She's like, he never finished University of Washington. He's not doing it. And so I want to make sure, I'm like, so I want to make sure we start with this young man right here. Gosh, that looked like a fool. Everybody else knew he didn't graduate. He was starting to go sideways again. So I had him stand up and I said, "Come on up." And he's going, no. Now he's going, no. I said, "Come right on up. I've got the microphone. Let's put it in your face and hear from you." And he's going, no, this can't be happening. He had lied to me as his youth leader and told me he graduated. But everybody else knew he flunked everything. He ain't passed nothing. They all knew it. And so I looked like an idiot. And my wife was there saying, "He hasn't graduated." I'm saying, "You're lying." She said, "No, I'm not." So he came up there and I said, "Congratulations." She said, "Wait a minute, I got to say something." I said, "What, man?" "I never graduated." "Really?" "My wife told me that you didn't graduate, but I didn't believe her." Found out, a month later, the contractor we were working with called me, so irate. They were up in Bellevue. They distributed equipment everywhere. All we had to do was deliver it. I don't care if you put it on a bicycle and get it there. Just deliver it. You make a percentage. He calls me because we had a great relationship with that guy. He says, "Don, can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Sure, man. What's going on?" He said, "Where's the equipment?" I said, "What equipment?" "The equipment you're supposed to deliver in Spokane here, the equipment that was supposed to go over there, the equipment that was the equipment. We haven't gotten any equipment to any of the clients for 2 weeks. Do you know how much this equipment costs? This is television equipment, fool." I'm like, "Well," and I called out his name, "so-and-so said he delivered all the equipment to all the places." He had lied. He was taking the equipment with me responsible for it and selling it to anybody that would buy it for $10, $20, $50. In the boxes still. And I came to him and said, "Listen, you got to level with me. You didn't tell me the truth about graduating. Where's the equipment?" I sold it. I wanted to strangle that guy. I wanted to grab him by the head and just bounce his head off the pavement for about an hour. It's okay. Jesus went away from me for a moment. It was really sad because I was like, "You did what? Man, I'm trying to help you to get completely out of this criminal life, and you took all this. I said, do you know how much I'm going to have to pay these people? And do you know that I could have been able to be FedEx by now? UPS? Dodge Delivery Service? He's like, I'm sorry. Go get the equipment back, man. I'm sorry. I said, you sure are. You're sorry. And I'm sorry I hired you. You fake like you're a Christian, but you steal and you lie. Why didn't you tell me? I'd have gave you some money, man. I'd have helped you out. 6 months later, God moved us to another church, was helping another ministry. I heard he's in jail. All over again. You are what you are when you aren't, unless you change on purpose. Younger man was just a younger man. God asked me to ask you this question. Which one are you? Because this is personal. Are you the younger or are you the older? Because even the older young man had a challenge. We'll get to him later. But the younger man wanted to party hard. Yeah, we're going to do it. Any money he got, he wasted it. Go on, next verse. I got a couple more minutes left. A few days later, the younger son gathered together everything. Say everything. Don't put anything in everything except for the kingdom. Trust God in everything. Trust people with some things. Did you hear what I said? Don't you put everything into it. That's why if you're investing, don't you put all your household money into that investment. That's stupid. You take a portion of your funds and you put it into that investment, because if it doesn't go, you know, and when I first was starting to build this church, I had to get around people that thought in millions at the time. Millions was a big deal. Billions they didn't talk about yet. But, you know, millions, millions of dollars. Oh, millions. He's a millionaire. And so some guys I started working with, I had done video projects for, whatever. I sat down with them. They were millionaires. I said, tell me a little bit about how you think about, you know, how you became a millionaire and blah, 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 blah. And it was like, the main thing that I look at, it's not if I'll get the money back. Not to get the money back. Not that, I don't look at making a profit, because I don't know what's gonna work or not, because I invest in people and their businesses and stuff like that. My main thing is just to get back what I gave them. But sometimes it's better for me to just forget that too. Because if they're gonna get sued, I don't wanna be tied to them. But if I'm part of the business and I invest and they get sued and I'm part of the ownership, I get sued too, and I'm the one with the money. So they're going to come after me. See, we have very little that we've invested into the kingdom of God. God put most of it. He gave us his son. He gave us his word. He gave us Jesus' blood. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gives us heaven. He gives us angels. What do you give him? That's why we're studying, what do I owe you? You owe him everything. You don't own anything. You wait until casket comes. You will know. You have nothing. Even your spirit and soul knows where to go. Back to God. Your body knows where to go. Back to earth. You really have zero. So you should at least be thankful that God entrusts you with some things, instead of acting like you're all that and you don't need God. Every day, my wife will tell you, I get up in the morning after all that 6.5 years of listening to that, whatever she was, because I don't think she was a nurse. I think she was a lady trying to commit murder.
I about died 3 days, I mean, three times after all that. The same day I almost died. My liver started dying. Tacoma General Hospital, the internist on that ward told my son-in-law, because he understands his medical stuff, said, look at the chart. His liver is dying 4 hours after this lady put that stuff in my arm. I trusted her. She told me, just like the Holy Spirit, don't do it, Don. You don't need it. And God is telling some of you about some things you're doing. You don't need to do that. And the Holy Spirit doesn't sit there and yell and scream at you forever. He'll come to you for a little while and say, why don't you give your life to Jesus? You really should get saved. You really should receive the Holy Spirit. You really should receive the Holy Spirit. You really should receive the Holy Spirit. And then he just walks away. You got to hear what he's saying and follow it. You don't need a Santa Claus list for God when you go pray. You need to shut up and find out what God's got to say. I had to do that. I used to come to God with a Santa Claus list. God, I want this in blue. I want that in turquoise. I want this on Thursday. He can get this one next Friday, that's fine. That'd be fine. And if you can do it beforehand, that'd be good. Okay, I need it now. In Jesus' name, I pray. And God's like, I got something for you. I'm like, I ain't got time to listen to you. Because I know what I want. And I felt like God was saying, okay. Blessed, sure. Yeah, you're blessed. That's having more hell go on in my life. I don't know how this woman hang on to what was going on. But she hung on till I got it right. Because now it's like, wow, praise God. We're following the Holy Spirit and living this thing. And ain't phony. Don't have to live no fake life. Don't have to fake like we blessed and highly favored. Don't have to act like we love each other just to make people come around us. See, because she stuck long enough for me to learn it. Took 51 years of marriage. Some of y'all look at me, I ain't taking it long. Well, you probably won't. But see, we have to realize, because after a few days, he gathered all his stuff, and he took off, and he traveled to a far, I like to put it back in the King James Version, actually, a far country. And that's where some of you are. I'm saying, hello, 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 hello. Where are you at? At. God's looking for you. Where are you? I ain't close to the church, I tell you that. I ain't close to God. A far country. He journeyed to a far. He did this. This is why the Father can't come after you, because you're the one made the decision. Those of you staying away from the church, and it may not be this church, but you think COVID is your excuse forever, I'm telling you now, God is only, he's long-suffering, but even long runs out. You're going to wish you had that relationship with God. You need to get your rump back with the Lord, thus says God Almighty. He is no one to play with. I'm telling you, he is no one to play with. You need to get as close to God as you can. You don't know what's going on, even internationally, even with the wars, even with the stuff that's happening with the nations. They say peace and civility is going to be happening. The Bible says that when they say peace, you don't know what's coming next. You need God in your life. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Follow the Holy Spirit, and if this thing is all over, if this whole world ended, you're still in great shape. I rest my case. Anybody get anything out of this? Time is up.